Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns. If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do and want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon. And with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. The players have made their way down into the basement dungeon of the cult that owned the Death House and have slaughtered many dozens of poor innocent victims over the time they were working, desperately trying to contact some sort of dark Patreon. This was all 100 years ago, and now it is just a decrepit, filthy, waterlogged dungeon. Our players have explored the southern part of it, dodging a submerged pit trap and fighting ghouls. Unfortunately, due to a number of incredible rolls by me and a lot of bad luck by them, Ulrich the Paladin Dwarf and Voron the High Elf Wizard were struck down almost immediately. Saf, in a valiant attempt to resurrect his friend, tried to dodge past one of the ghouls, only to be taken down with an attack of opportunity. Behind them, in the waist-deep water, our dragonborn paladin is fighting a group of ghouls. Meanwhile, death saves took place, and poor Voron failed 3 in a row and has passed from this world. We are going to start at the top of the round with the ghoul battling Sulvarex. I forgot to mention, two more ghouls have fallen down a pit trap behind Sulvarex and are desperately trying to swim their way out, so bubbles and thrashings are happening behind you. The ghoul fighting you launches forward with a claw attack with a 9 and its bite attack with an 8. So, Sulvarex, it's your round.
You know, assuming they get through this, like, could they be walking in the corridor and my ghost will appear and say, "Don't go that way, the monster's down there."
Okay, so both these attacks just glances off my shield as I definitely block each blow as it incomes. I raise my sword and prepare to strike. Here we go. 28!
That's a critical hit. Can you roll double damage?
13 plus 3.
So 16 damage is enough to cleave it in two, striking it to the ground, and it disappears under the water. And we are out of initiative. Before we do, can I have Saf, your death save, please?
And I'm up. 3,
6, 7,
11. I got 11.
So you cough and splutter and push yourself out of the black mud. You are on 1 hit point. Ulrich, can I have your death save, please?
17!
Can I just say it? All me, baby.
I immediately cast Cure Wounds on myself. For 1d8 hit points, and I roll
plus
5.
What's your spellcasting modifier is charisma.
Yeah, and I believe so. That will be 2, so 7 points.
So you're up to 8
hit points.
Now.
Really should have used that before that fight, but oh well.
Okay.
And Voron is spinning in his grave.
His body floats by, like.
Well, where you are now is only like a couple of inches deep, so he's just like face down in the mud.
I'm gonna loot Voron's body. I know he's got scrolls on him.
So you like spin him over, and start searching his body when his hand reaches up and grabs onto your wrist.
Shiza!
Back off, bitch.
Can we make that what he says?
That's what he says, yeah. That's in character.
I sort of raise my hammer, slightly hesitating.
I don't know.
Can you give me a perception, please?
All of us are just Dave.
Anyone who's examining Voron.
I'm beside him.
So I roll a 15 for perception.
Okay, he's not breathing.
Is it me, though?
You're not breathing.
You're saying that in character.
What?
I don't know, is it you?
Hold on. I cast magic missile and dicks fly out. Yeah, looks like it's me. That doesn't happen. That does not happen.
I'm gonna lose this character. He's too much fun.
So, can I just look around like, my heart's not beating.
Your heart's not beating, and there's like this huge, gory wound in your stomach. In fact, you can see your intestines. They're kind of hanging out.
Can I reach out and sort of, since I can actually touch him, I'll actually just place my hand on his forehead. And say some prayers and sort of search him for evil, or, you know, do a whole dwarvy Christy
exorcism thing.
Like, okay, so it seems to be Voron. Like, unless your alignment is evil, Voron, that's you don't sense evil, at least not initially.
In that case, I sort of take a step or two back.
Can I feel the pain in my stomach, or like, is it just numb?
You can feel that it doesn't feel right, but no, it's not painful. In fact, you kind of like look down and kind of like grab onto a chunk of intestine, and it's like split, and like part of your meal splits out, and like you can feel it splitting out. It doesn't feel good, but it's not painful particularly.
Kind of like take one end of the intestine and the other end and like tie a knot in it, just like shove it back in.
Yeah, that doesn't feel right at all.
Well, it feels better than
prick stick and kind of like,
yeah,
glue.
You shove it back in and it like just like falls back out again.
Can anyone here sew or stitch? I'm just like, I'm obviously I'm pale at this moment because I'm fucking dead, but I'm also like, I'm not breathing either because I'm also dead. Just kind of panicking. Just sitting here like,
you're trying to hyperventilate, but you can't because you're not breathing.
Blood is just coming up instead. I'm just like, can I like try to cast prestidigitation or whatever?
Prestidigitation.
To see if I can still do magic.
What do you want it to do?
Just like make some, just like a little
flame. It can like clean all your clothes, like, because you're currently like completely black face down.
I just like clean all the dirt off myself.
Yep, you're now like immaculate. Like all the dirt's disappeared. Off your face, off your robes, like.
Can someone give me something to stitch myself up with, or does anyone have anything? I probably have something in my pockets here. I don't have my cloak. The frog ate
scroll,
it.
Wrap a scroll around yourself.
I tie a bit of rope to the hilt of my sword.
I just kind of like take the shirt that I have, what's left of it, and just try to like bandage my stomach so it's not, my insides aren't falling out.
Like, you look, as you're doing it, you kind of look at your three companions, and they're looking like wide-eyed, shocked at you. Like, they may be accepting, but it's not right. And they look very on edge around you as you kind of like, imagine, push your intestines back into your stomach.
And imagine Saf is probably just like interested, but the other two are just like, evil being.
Well, I've sensed you. I don't sense evil. That's why I didn't cave your skull in.
I'm just kind of like, tightening up the knot, just making sure my intestines are still in and my stomach is still together. I'm just kind of like scratching my head, just like, what?
Voron, you're okay. I mean, what is happening? You're good. Is it you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I feel like it is.
Okay, good enough for me. Can we just get the fuck out of here? From creepy ghost baby guys to like whatever the fuck that just was.
Indeed, I searched his mind. It is Voron. However, he is still not alive. But
can you put yourself on one hit point, Voron? Sorry.
Is that like a permanent thing?
Sort of just shake my head and let's get the fuck out of here.
I mean, wait, should we take a second to maybe rest? I mean, I'm pretty shook up.
You want to rest in the ghoul infested?
Not rest, but look, I could take a second. I was kind of unconscious. I'm a little groggy.
I've just entered this room at the end of the corridor past where I got jumped by the ghouls.
Okay. So, this room is festooned with mouldy skeletons that hang from rusty shackles against the walls. A wide alcove in the south wall contains a painted wooden statue carved in the likeness of a gaunt, pale-faced man wearing a luminous black cloak. His pale left hand resting on the head of a wolf that stands next to him. In his right hand, he holds a smoky grey crystal orb. The room has exits in the south.
Okay, when you said the statue's portrayed as holding an orb and having a cloak. It's not a statue with a cloak and, and an orb in its hand.
So it's the statue. You see where the two stars are? So the star itself is the big statue. And the smaller star is the orb itself. As you step a bit further into the room, just to your left where the wall is, so I'll just do it here on the map, you can hear chanting from that direction just as you pass by that part of the wall. This is the most evil room you've been in. You get an incredibly bad feeling about this room.
Is the statue actually wearing a cloak, or is it like carved into stone?
It's carved into the stone and painted, so that's why it looks pale. So it's like it's cracked paint.
And the orb is part of the stone as well. It's not like a glass, like Dave was asking.
No, so the orb itself is a glass orb.
Wizard boy, check this out.
Okay, I'll go over and just do an arcana roll with the orb. Yeah, that's some bad juju coming out of that.
Okay.
I like it.
With a 23, it radiates very, very powerful necromancy and conjuration magic.
Nobody touched this orb. I don't trust it. Staff, I'm looking at you.
Staff's like in the corridor behind you, like sort of head peeking around the corridor going, what?
But what do you sense? It looks like a magical object.
Just all I can feel coming off this orb is necromantic and conjuration and just bad magic that we don't want to mess around with.
I was going to say,
Saf, just next to you, the little boy appears and he goes, that's who they were praying to, but he never came. They wanted him to come, but he never came. He never answered. And then they made the monster.
Did we have this discussion? How is necromancy perceived in general in the Sword Coast? Is it inherently evil, or is it just a facet of magic?
I think it depends on the person you speak to and its use. So, for example, there are clerics of supreme power that are able to like resurrect the dead. And you could argue that that is a type of necromancy, whereas most people would view that as like a miracle, like a holy gift. But I think kind of the when you think of the sort of stereotypical necromancy, you know, walking around with an army of zombies and, you know, skeletons and generally causing mischief like that, that's not really tolerated.
Okay.
I think generally it's evil, but it depends upon its use.
With the orb, do I feel that if I move it or like mess around with it, something bad will happen? Or
it's really difficult to say. I think you know that necromancy tends to contact the negative energy planes, particularly things like the Shadowfell, and conjuration is definitely responsible for creating something out of nothing or calling something from somewhere else. I think it is kind of up to your common sense, really, or your character or player choice, really. I don't want to.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
I'm just gonna say, well, is it powerful, Tavoron?
As far as I can tell, yes.
Well, then use it, pussy, and I pick it up and I just toss it to Tavoron.
Okay, like there's a sudden like rush in the room, as if like something has been drawn out, and the temperature drops down. So low, you see the water on the floor actually turning to ice with a crack.
I'm just like, I hate you. So, can I feel anything now that I'm holding the orb? Any kind of like, abilities or anything that I might gain from it or be able to do?
Well, currently Ulrich's still...
No, I just picked it up and just tossed it underhanded to Voron in one sort of action.
It's like just the use half it. Sentence to decide what you're going to do.
Okay. So...
There's surely a catch roll here.
not from 3 feet. Okay. Come on.
No, I don't think so. He's got high dexterity, but I would like everyone to roll me perception.
I only have one HP.
I rolled a 5.
Currently, Saf and Silvarix, you're actually in the corridor where you fought the ghouls. You're nowhere near, so I'm saying you don't even need to.
I rolled a 10.
All right, I moved my character. I just assumed I walked to the door, that's kind of following, but that's fine.
So you're still in the corridor. The ghost boy goes, "You need to go. You need to go now." Voron, you realise that Ulrich's shadow is no longer moving in response to Ulrich. It seems to have taken on like a power of its own.
Ulrich. I just like I'm pointing at the ground behind him, just like turn look at that. Look what you've done.
And I start trying to look at my shadow, just kind of turning circles. What? Fascistas!
Well, the shadow's
like a dog chasing his tail.
Okay. The shadow like peels off the ground and begins to reach towards you. Can I ask everyone to roll the initiative?
God damn it, Dave, are you just trying to kill us? 9.
Fuck's sake, 11.
9 is plenty of initiative to get killed in one hit.
Oh my god, 7.
Sorry, I've lost my pen.
18.
I've also lost my pen and it's terrible.
Seriously.
No!
You have that thing in roll 20 where you can draw up initiative, can't you?
Mainly I'm just like, this is one of Joe's games. Magic loot never happens. Here is magic loot. We can't leave it.
Doesn't feel too fucking magical to me.
Okay, the initial shadow.
Come on.
Yes!
Oh, thank fuck.
Plus 2, so 5.
Plus 17. So we got a 20.
Typical for this afternoon.
Yeah. Okay, so top of the round, Sulvarix.
So I'm way back in the
and,
corridor.
And you're not entirely sure what's going on, actually. So I think I'm actually going to, like, unless you want to do an action unrelated to this, maybe you've heard what's happening there. They're talking about Dave's shadow moving or Rick's shadow moving.
All you can hear is me getting angry.
But there is this little ghost who's, like, stood next to Saf's character in the corridor, and he's just going, "You need to go. You need to go now."
Okay, can I ask this boy why he's telling me to go?
You're all... And he turns around and he faces you straight on. His eyes are dark hollows, pits of darkness, and he looks at you and goes, "You're all going to die." And then he disappears.
Joke's on him, I'm already dead.
Ha, take that little ghost boy.
Okay, what do you want to do, Aaron?
So do I hear anything? Or?
I think you hear me.
You can hear me getting angry in the distance.
And then a loud fuck from me.
So I hear something going on up front.
Yes.
Okay.
Arguments about shadows.
I'm going to go investigate then and kind of like push my way past like the little ones.
Okay, you see, you enter this sort of horrific room filled with these chained, tortured corpses and this strange statue of this cloaked figure, and peeling itself off the ground is Ulrich's shadow reaching towards him with black, inky fingers.
Can I attack the darkness?
And you can have inspiration.
Sunshine, lollipops and rainbows.
So
attack the darkness. That's the name of your first album.
if you've never seen the you,
it's yeah, it's a
how
famous,
can you play D&D and not know that sketch?
It's I don't
a,
know.
It's a famous sketch. 8-bit sketch.
You can have inspiration for that amazing reference.
Thank you. Awesome. Okay, so
I have inspiration. I just remember.
Okay, so your sword just goes straight through the shadow with a 9 and clatters into the ground below. Who's next? Ulrich.
I attack my own shadow with my warhammer, just striking down into it. And I roll an 18.
18 is a hit, and it's like hitting into something solid.
I roll an 8 for damage.
What a goddamn head.
Fucking hell, Joe.
God damn it, man. Get your shit together.
I am very aware of time right now, guys. We need to hurry up. Fuck my pen.
Get a new pen. I love pain.
you try and keep track of all this bullshit without a pen. Right, okay.
It's easy, you keep murdering.
Don't give him ideas.
Right, Voron.
Can the orb do anything?
No, but you notice that your shadow is now beginning to move on its own.
His shadow too!
Can I smash the orb in the ground?
Yeah.
Jesus, I've just killed us.
Yay!
The orb in the ground.
It shatters.
Cool. And then
with a scream.
Alright, cool.
That's not a worry.
That's it. I use Thunder Wave.
Ooh, nice, okay.
So what's each the creature. Range? Each
Change
creature. I have evocation proficiency, so he actually gets pocketed and saved from it. Each creature in a 15-foot cube originating from you must take a Constitution saving throw. On a failed save, the creature takes 2d8 thunder damage and is pushed 10 feet away from me. On a successful save, the creature takes half the damage and isn't pushed.
And what's your DC?
DC is 13.
Okay, so can you roll for damage, please?
Okay, that is 2d8, isn't it?
Just do it once. Just do one load of damage. We'll use it for everything. Okay, so Ulrich, your shadow, like this huge sort of thunder clap, smashes out in all directions, echoes round the chamber, and when you look down, your shadow is back to normal. However, Voron's shadow is still peeling itself off the ground.
Wait, so it's not like manifested yet? Fuck me.
It does seem to have been shocked because it doesn't seem nearly as substantial as it was before.
Can I move now while it's still peeling itself off? Or was
of course
it,
you can, yeah. Me? Yeah, definitely.
Right, so I move back here.
Okay, you also notice that other shadows are beginning to peel themselves off different areas of the wall, like one of the skeletons, the statue itself, like a sort of innocuous shadow on the floor seems to be moving and gaining sort of solidity, as it were. Your thunder wave seems to have damaged all of them.
Okay.
So we are now to Saf.
So I assume we've kind of picked up the torches and we're kind of carrying torches along, because that's what you said once we got going again, yeah?
Yeah.
Is my shadow coming up off the ground at this point, or no?
No.
Right, so I'm going to walk to the nearest one. Is probably Ulrich's, is it?
Mine's.
Yeah, Ulrich's, no, so Ulrich's has been dispatched, but there are 4 more shadows.
Okay, so I'm going to walk in. I was in the corridor. I'm going to walk in about 5-10 feet into the room and jam the torch into the nearest shadow I see.
Okay, give me a sort of normal melee hit.
That's fine. Oh, I got a 10.
So like your torch just goes right through it, out the other side, not seeming to damage it at all. Okay, the shadows, they are...
Oh, hold up.
Go on.
Hold up. I'm going to just... Oh, I can't. Can I only use half my movement? Can I basically move back behind the guys again?
You certainly can, yeah.
I'm going to drop the torch and move right back to where I came from.
Okay, so four shadows are going to engulf Ulrik.
See you later, bud.
So the first one does 17 to hit.
Fail.
Plus four, are you fucking joking?
Is that
fail.
Fail.
My AC is 17.
He has shield out now.
Armor class is 12, is 18,
armor class
is
18, yeah.
Okay, second one, 16 to hit.
Fail.
Fail.
Third one, 13 to hit. And the last one, 11 to hit.
I am a dwarven god!
So we are back to the top of the round with Silvarax.
Question. Does a shadow cease to be if there is no light to cast it?
I wouldn't risk it. Did you say that in character? Boron's like, don't fucking do that.
Confucius say.
It's quite an interesting question. If a tree falls in the woods,
Jesus.
There's no one around.
Oh my god!
Is your character turned into Velociraptor?
Hit something.
It's an interesting question. I pose.
It's a lot better than my idea to jam it with light, I guess.
Merely to see what would happen. Okay, well, fine, so be it. They have drawn my hand. I am going to use acid breath.
Okay.
R.I.P. Ulrik.
Don't worry, we can revive him back to 1 HP afterwards.
Yeah, we can get him up, that's fine. I breathe deeply and spew forth a line 30 metres long by 5 metres wide.
I think it's feet, actually. Yeah. Carry on, because that's
feet.
It's still across the whole room.
Metric, imperial, details. And it covers the entire area, all four entities.
Okay, and do they get a saving throw?
I would say that I actually miss the dwarf due to his small stature.
Okay, so I'm not asking your opinion, I'm asking the rules. So yeah.
Why aren't you asking my opinion? That's what I want to
know. I
know
what you would like to happen. Right, let me just check out Dragonborn. Exotic races making me learn more rules.
Damn sexy Dragonborn, is that what you're saying?
Stupid sexy Dragonborn.
Right, breath weapon. DC is 8 plus your constitution modifier plus your proficiency bonus. So what's your constitution?
The 14.
Plus
2. So
it's
plus
2. So plus 2. What's your proficiency? Is plus 2 as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you... Including Ulrik, can 12. Everyone make a DC 12 save?
Dex?
Why, we're behind him.
No,
yeah,
no.
We're behind him.
No, it's just Ulrik and then the shadows.
Dex?
Yeah.
Okay, one of them passes, the other three fail, and it does 2d6 damage. It was acid sprays across them.
Is it a constitution or a dex?
If it's a save. It's
20 credit! Motherfucker!
You still take half damage.
So you take half damage, so can we do 2d6 damage?
No.
And 5 and 4, which make 9.
Okay, so 3 of the shadows disappear and fade into nothingness, returning to the shadows that they were. Ulrik, you take 5 damage. And there's one more shadow desperately clinging to its
mortal coil.
Go far. Okay. So, next round is the...
I think that was a fair exchange.
I think that
fair.
Was good. Ulrik.
I hit the bastard. 16.
That's a hit.
Doing 12 bludgeoning damage. As I look up, I smash my hammer through this apparition... It disappears, and with vaporous steam rising off my now bloodied, filthy, and acid-burned beard, I just look up in Solvarax and, we will be having words.
Okay, so you have survived TPK room number 4.
And he smashed the orb, so we didn't even get anything out of it.
I didn't like that fucking orb. I didn't want the orb. You threw the orb at me.
In other positive news, I found my pen.
Yay!
Are we out of initiative?
Yes.
So, Joe, you said we heard something coming from this wall here.
Yes.
Dwarf smash.
Yeah, exactly. I walk up.
give me an investigation. Bro.
I was gonna tap the wall to see if I could.
It's got a handle.
Can I roll it with advantage with one of them supporting me?
Sure.
Yeah, cool. I got 24 anyway.
So the door moves, the wall breaks apart, sliding open to reveal a staircase leading down into darkness.
Why forever we look as a fucking staircase is going fucking into the darkness where we will fucking die.
Why is it all so bad? Is this one flooded?
No. So coming from this staircase, now that the door has slid aside, the strange arcane chanting is louder, and fills you with dread.
All right, guys, do we want to go? Which way do we want to go to our death?
Down here, but send the lizard first. Don't want to be on the receiving end of that fucking bad breath again.
You won't, because it's gone now.
Fair enough.
One and done, eh?
One and done.
Sort of just gesture for this, after you to Solvarax.
Okay, so Solvarax sort of heads down first, followed by Ulrich, followed by Vorin, followed by Saf. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Sure.
Behind you, Saf, the little boy ghost kind of materializes and is sort of just walking down with you, but he doesn't really seem to be conscious. Like, I think previously he's kind of engaged you and looked at you, as this time he's just walking down, just sort of mimicking your steps. Solvarax, the corridor goes down for about 50 feet before turning right and opening out into a reliquary. The ghostly chant emanating from this chamber is much louder. There are two exits, both on the right of one sort of... first of all, so the room's about sort of 25 feet by about 15 foot. You've entered from the sort of top left corner. To your right are two exits. There are lots of alcoves, so basically every part of this room has an alcove, and there seems to be sort of something in each one, a little pile or a little thing in each one. In the centre of the room is a burnt and blackened table, and the floor is covered with skeletons.
Is this the southern exit from the room we were just fighting?
Ulrich, you recognise this room as the room from your dream, and you know that the first exit leads down to a prison where you were locked in your dream.
Gentlemen, I have seen this place before. The nightmare I was having in the drawing room. I was here. I assume there are there bodies laying around, the corpses of the...
Yep, members of the cult who burned to death. Or were murdered by their escaped prisoners.
This is where the prisoners staged their escape before burning down the mansion. Just on that phase, there were the cells where they were held. And I've sort of explore forward, looking particularly in the alcoves.
Okay, the first alcove, they seem to be sort of like trinkets or maybe relics. Like, each one is on like a sort of pedestal. The first one is like a small mummified yellow hand with sharp claws on a loop of rope, as if you'd put it around your neck if you really want to.
Do I sense any emanations from them, or is it again just drowned out by the background noise?
No, not at all. No, these are just like googles. There's quite a few. I sort of read them, and there's like a knife which seems to be carved from a human bone. Quite useless as a knife, but an interesting artifact. There's a varnished orb made from some sort of strange creature's eye. There's an aspergillium, is that carved from bone? There's a folded cloak made from some horrible skin.
So, general idiot cult, macabre. Yeah.
Desiccated frog. A bag full of bat guano. The severed finger of what seems to be a human.
Can we do, like, just kind of an investigation or a kind of just to see if any of them are magical?
You definitely can. Give me an arcana roll.
Just in the off chance, you know. Like a 10.
So you don't think so. The only thing that you do realise is that the finger isn't a human's finger, but a hag's finger, which is a very, very powerful sort of demonic creature. As you're kind of looking in all these alcoves, you realise that the southernmost tunnel slopes down at a sort of 20 degree angle into a murky water. It's murky water and a rusty portcullis. Over here, and from there the chanting is much, much louder.
Okay, and next to that, sort of directly on our right when we entered the room, there's another corridor,
and that leads to the prison.
Okay, how deep past the portcullis? How deep does the water look?
I would say not that deep. Like probably like for you like. Shin high.
Okay, so.
No, about 2 foot high.
Still. Okay.
2 foot high, so like waist deep for you.
So sort of neck deep, I would say.
For Owen.
Can I approach and look through.
It's 2/3 of my body. I'm a 3 foot. Come on, man.
Look through the portcullis.
Okay, so the chanting stops as you peer into this 40 foot square room. The smooth masonry wall provide excellent acoustics, though. Featureless stone pillars support the ceiling, and a breach in the west wall leads to a dark cave heaped with stinking refuse. Even from here, the smell is awful. Murky water covers most of the floor, and there's like a ledge which surrounds the room, and there's some stairs that lead up to it. In the centre of the room... there's like an octagonal dais which rises above the water. There's rusty chains with shackles that dangle from the ceiling directly above the altar mounted on the dais. And even from here you can see there's an altar. The altar's carved with hideous depictions of screaming ghouls, and it's stained with dry blood.
Can I pick up one of the more innocuous gewgaws and toss it through the bars of the portcullis into the room?
You can indeed, yeah.
There's a 10-foot pole when you need one.
you also, so when you sort of throw it through, you just see to your left on the inside of the room is like a sort of a mechanism for lifting the portcullis if you were inside the room.
Right.
Can I sight up beside him and use Mage Hand on the mechanism?
Give it a go. Yeah, you definitely. Is it a cantrip?
Yeah.
Give me an arcana check.
14.
So like you push against it with your sort of mental strength, but it doesn't seem to be enough to turn the portcullis mechanism.
How rusty are these bars?
Pretty rusty, but solid.
Right. In that case, I'm just going to start, I guess, wailing on the bars.
So you strike into it, rust flies in all directions. It shakes. Like, you don't think you'll be able to smash them, but you might be able to lift them, or maybe you and Sulvarix together might be able to lift them.
Sulvarix, make yourself useful.
I walk up to the bars and kind of grip them between both hands. And try and pull them apart like you would chest compression exercises or something.
Not apart, you fool. So, up.
Who's the strongest out of both of you? I think
we're about the same.
I wouldn't know.
My strength is 17.
Probably stronger than me. Strength is 16.
Okay, so Dave Uruk, do you want to roll with advantage?
18.
Nice. Okay, so you lift the portcullis, rust spraying all directions, and you hold it above your head, allowing enough room for people to pass into the room. Who wishes to go into the this chamber?
Well,
Moron slips through.
Would I have to get on my belly and sort of try and crawl yes. through?
You just have to duck. As Voron enters the room ahead of you, you notice that he's not moving nearly as lithely as he was before. Like, gone is the natural dexterity of the elf, replaced by something much slower and much more stumbling.
I don't really care, but I'm just like...
the someone want to use the crank? This is a little bit heavy.
I turn around and look at Sulfurus. You're the strong one. Back off.
Okay, Sulfurus, you grab onto the crank. Are you going to enter the room, Ulrich? So you're the last one to enter, but just as you enter, the ghost boy follows you in. Sulfurus, can you give me a strength check?
Yep.
With a 5, the crank slips from your fingers and crashes down. Or sorry, the portcullis crashes down. There's like a splash and there's this moment of silence, and the ghost boy kind of looks up and stares at you and he goes, "Welcome to the ritual chamber." And then somehow like something about him changes. Like, he's still young, like his voice is still young, but somehow harsher and more confident. "Welcome to the Chapel of the Departed. This is where the death cult murdered their victims. It's where some of the victims acted a bloody revenge. The whole cult was killed. Their bodies burned alive in the fire the prisoners inadvertently started. All killed, apart from a handful of cultists who managed to escape. But it seems there is justice in the realms. The gods do care about revenge, even if it is served cold. Because you and the other guests of tonight's events were all direct descendants of those escaped cultists. And with your deaths, all of us victims will finally know peace. Now rise, those that were murdered." And from behind him, a maelstrom of black shadows begins to launch itself forwards. Hundreds of shadowy figures coalescing into one gigantic ghostly form at the top of the altar. You see Mona Beck, you see the Headless Marquis, you see Vincent Archron, you see Lady Belladonna, and hundreds of others writhing and twisting in this black shadowy maelstrom. Roll for initiative, guys.
I kind of want to get revenge on them now, too. I got 22, by the way.
I rolled an 11.
I got an 8.
I got a 4.
Okay, and this gigantic, and it's a huge creature. Like, it takes up 4 squares, this thing. Gets a 13. So, Voron.
Top of the round.
Throw everything.
I've already used all my fucking spell slots. I cast Spiritual Weapon.
Okay, so a glowing weapon appears next to you. Pardon?
And I back up to there.
It is a 5-pronged scourge, like a whip. So whatever this god was, it was certainly not a friendly one, and you can use an action to have it float forward and attack.
Yeah, up to 20 feet away from me, and it can attack within 5 feet. So I send it up to the big shadow and I whip it.
Whip it.
So it
real good.
On his, yeah, I just do an attack thing, I guess. So 20 plus 5, 22, does that hit?
That's a hit, yep.
Alright, so it does 1d8 plus 5 then. 10 damage.
Nice. Okay, so the whip scourges against it, sending sort of wisps and shadows off. But it's hardly damaged at all. It's almost like it's hardly been hurt.
I'm just like, okay.
Okay. It steps forwards, and you see the twisting form of Belladonna launch itself forward. Come join us. Join us. And then it's replaced with Vincent, who goes, "Yes, take your rightful place amongst us."
Is the little boy still there?
No, the little boy is not there at all. Okay, the nearest person on the map is Sulvarex. It can hit you from 10 foot away with its size. So it's not huge; it's large. So with its first attack. It gets 23 to hit.
Yep.
Doing 11 points of damage.
Okay, that leaves me on 1.
With its second attack, it gets 11 to hit.
And that will glance off.
Okay. So, next in round, we have. Go for it, Ulrich.
I am a dwarven god! And I charge in with my shield and hammer, striking wildly in desperation and, well, despair. I roll a 25.
25 hits it.
Doing 16 points of damage.
How?
Wow.
11 points of damage.
It's 11.
11 points of damage. Nice, okay.
Who's up next?
It is...
It's me.
Yes.
Quick question. If it does attack me, because I'm small, does it have disadvantage against me?
Why would it?
Something big
because
hitting something small.
Because there's a creature two sizes bigger than you.
Can you give me a ruling on that? I've not read that rule.
Let's not bother checking it up. We can
no,
do it for next time.
No, we don't have time for it right now.
Yeah, I thought it was that, but it's fine. I'm going to run to the corner of the room. I'm going to run to the corner of the room and just fire my crossbow at it with my sneak attack, if I hit. I rolled a 19.
Nice, yeah, that's a hit.
2d6 plus 5. Oh, I rolled 16 damage. Get
Ooh,
fucked.
Fucking nice.
Okay, so...
Almost max damage.
Nice, okay. And to finish the round off.
Yep.
Sulvarex.
I will attack the darkness. Can I use inspiration on this one?
You can, so you roll twice and use the best roll.
So that's 23.
That's a hit.
Hit it for 14 damage.
Wow. Okay, so I mean, so far this in the first round you've taken it, you've done an awful lot of damage, but it seems basically unharmed. Like, you haven't even bloodied it yet, guys. Your attacks are basically wailing through it, and it screams, and I think we're back to the top of the round with Voron.
Okay, so it says here, as a bonus action on your turn, you can move the weapon up to 20 feet, repeat the attack against the creature within 5 feet of it. So,
yes.
If it's a bonus action, could I cast Firebolt and then do the bonus action with the whip?
You definitely can, yeah.
All right, awesome. So I'm going to cast Firebolt on the thing, which is d20 plus 5, so I got a crit.
Ooh, oh, baby!
Nice.
This is
they roll for damage twice.
Oh, it was twice. Nice. That's 2d10s. 12 damage.
Nice, okay.
And then for the...
Hold up, it's... Do you not have a damage modifier with that, no?
No, not with a cantrip.
Okay.
So then I roll with the whip, and I get 10. Oh, shit.
10's not good enough, so the sort of whip, it sort of just knocks it aside.
Whip again?
Sure, okay.
I have it from the
yeah, that's fine.
Time. 14? Not enough.
14's not enough, no, sorry. Okay, so we have the beast next, and it is gonna, it's got Voron at, sorry, not so, Sylvarix and the dwarf in front of it. I'm gonna say if it's 1 to 10, it's Sylvarix and.
Stop trying to kill me more!
11 to 20, Auric. Auric, it's gonna hit you, I'm afraid. So
disadvantage because of Aaron's ability.
True.
Isn't it? No, so this is just a, this is who it hits.
Who is gonna attack?
But it's rolling for disadvantage on its attack because of Aaron's ability.
Yeah, for, with his reaction. So the first attack, it sweeps forward with a 20 to hit. Sylvarix, do you want to try and block this with your shield?
Yes. I mean, you've got a roll with disadvantage.
Okay, so his next roll, he gets a 16 to hit.
It's a fail.
And that
misses.
Okay.
Be a fail.
So its first hit is blocked by Sylvarix's shield. Its next slam attack, he rolls a crit.
He doesn't. He rolls a disadvantage. So
only the
no,
first
you can only get one reaction a turn.
Yep.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So his next attack does...
Damn.
A million damage.
31 points of damage.
That's... That's me dead on. If you take more than half, yeah, that's me dead on the floor.
All of your hit points.
So to take you to dead, it'll take you to minus 21.
It does. That's me dead on the floor.
So you're dead,
extra dead,
and adjoining the denizens of the house.
Can you kind of describe your death?
It's messy.
Got in him all as I just fly back, blood spraying everywhere.
He shits his pants.
So
there's no dwarf left. Just a mist.
So basically,
of blood in the air.
The black darkness completely wraps you, and then when it pulls back, it takes with it your skin and all your flesh, leaving just this bloody skeleton, which drops the ground and sinks into the water.
There's just a pair of boots there standing.
But those of you watching my skeleton sink into the water, you just noticed that I have one finger standing up.
It's like the Terminator 2
hand. Terminator 2 hand, middle finger salute to Sylvarix as I collapse into...
Okay, so next.
What a shame.
It would have been Auric, but we've now got... We go on to Saf.
So again, attack him with my crossbow and sneak attack. I got a 23 to hit.
23 is definitely hit.
2d6 plus 5. I rolled another 16. I am on fire.
Boom.
Does inspiration give you a second go?
No, it can't. It just lets you roll the advantage.
I thought it was like an action point. It's worth a shot.
Okay, Sylvarix.
And I'm going to attack the darkness once again. With a 20.
20 is a hit.
Thank fuck for that. And a 14 to
damage.
Hit.
14 damage. Jesus. Yeah, okay, damage. Guys. Okay, so top of the round. We're back with you, Voron.
All right. Same as last time. Firebolt, fireball, blah. Is it 15?
A 15 is dead on. It's a hit.
Okay, so d10. 7 damage.
7 damage. Jesus.
Firebolt.
You've done over 100 damage to it now.
And then for the whip, I get a 12. Fuck.
12's not a hit, no.
Kind of backing up a bit more into the corner. Not feeling safe anymore.
Okay, so the creature strikes out at Sylvarix with its first hit. It does a 26.
Oh, fuck.
That hits.
Doing 9 points of damage.
And that would hit.
And how many hit points have you got left?
9 points of damage, that would take me to minus 10.
So minus... It can't take you to minus 10, because otherwise you'd be on minus 1.
How many hit points do you have left, Aaron?
One.
So minus 8.
So it takes you to minus 8. So it just knocks him to the ground, knocking the life out of him.
I was looking over at Saf like, oh fuck, buddy.
It's going to float towards, so 1 to 10, Saf, 11 to 20, Voron.
Come on, Saf is...
It floats towards Voron.
I deal more damage than you anyway. look, the main thing is you get engaged, getting up and close and personal with them. It's the best for both of us.
It's not in range.
Can I just also point out this is the first time I've gone down in this entire campaign?
It's the first time we've all gone down in this campaign today.
Okay, Saf.
Is he considered engaged now? Because he's.
No, he's not in range.
No. He's engaged with the spiritual weapon. I know, because you have to move that, so no.
Where is the spiritual weapon? Where are we saying it was?
It probably is, you know, because he's so right big. There. It probably, I'm going to say he is, yeah, because it's a large creature.
Cool, because he's taking up four squares, yeah. Isn't he?
And the whip has like a 5-foot range to attack too.
Yeah, so yeah. Okay.
Cool. I'm going to roll a d20 and do my sneak attack again. I got a 23. I am on fire. Nice. Come on, another.
What's your
16.
Damage?
I rolled a 12, but no, never mind. My lucky doesn't apply for this. If I roll a 1 attack, not on damage. Yeah, I got 12 damage.
12 damage. Okay, so, Sulfarex, can you give me your death save?
What do I need to roll?
It's 1 to 10, so it's basically 50-50. So
a d20.
Yeah.
So I roll 11.
So, first pass. Top of the round, Voron.
Same thing again. I move the whip so it's closer, just to whip it good. And I shoot at another firebolt, getting 14 on hit.
14's not a hit.
Okay, then I whip with the whip and I get a 17.
17 is a hit.
Okay, so that is 8 damage.
And with a scream, the shadow disappears.
Oh, shit!
The whole building, the whole basement begins to tremble.
Fuck, what do I do? I run over and I do a medicine check on Sylvarix.
Okay, give me a medicine check.
You're kidding me, you didn't drop any liquid.
You can check there, I have other things in my mind.
Okay, you fail. What? Sylvarix, you got an 8, didn't
right,
you?
That one I failed. Yeah. 8. I didn't realise I'd clicked it.
So, can you give me another death save, Sylvarix?
That's a 2.
It's a 2. One fair, one pass. Saf, can you give me a medicine roll?
Yeah.
Is this who's this on now? Sylvarix or Dave's skeleton?
I'm doing this on Dave.
Dave's a desiccated skeleton.
Skeleton.
Sorry, on Sylvarix. Never mind.
Roll with advantage.
I rolled a 1, but I get to re-roll it due to my lucky halfling ability.
Okay.
And ability rolls. Oh. I rolled a 12.
He's back on 1 hit point. The roof is beginning to cave in. And the portcullis is closed.
Okay, well, there's this hole in the wall over here. Can I, like, grab Dave's Uruk's remains?
Yeah.
And just, like, if he had a cloak on or something, wrap it in the cloak.
Yeah, you pull his skeleton up and the fingers wrap itself around your wrist.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no.
Why? Break it at the wrist, fuck it.
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, guys, this
it
is
gross. It croaks, and it has Ulrich's voice.
Why? Thank you, my friend.
Come on, hey, get out of here.
Hey, buddy, you look great.
Fuck!
Did you lose some weight?
What's my beard? My beard!
Did you get a haircut?
Just sort of looking at my hands, would you just... skeletal remains with the odd bits of meat and ligament just barely holding it together. And I thought you looked bad, Voron.
Okay, so you managed to zoom through the basement, chunks of masonry falling around you. From wherever the water's coming from, that has burst and it's beginning to get deeper and deeper in water. You managed to make it to the spiral staircase leading into the house before the entire basement is flooded. You run right to the top of the house and then down to the bottom. The whole house caving in around you. Do you want to try and grab the chest?
Yes.
Okay, it takes all four of you to drag it, the house collapsing behind you as you push your way through the doors and out into the breaking dawn. The first orange-hued rays of sunrise kiss your dusty, bloody faces with the same loving care as an undertaker with the recently departed.
Does Dave still have a face?
As the yellow shining sun starts rising from the ground, it fills the sky with mighty colours of red and splashes the scant clouds with endless rays of pink. It is as bright and mesmerising as it is inviting as you stare deep into the horizon. You find yourself relaxing as finally the sun reveals itself and seems to swell, loosing its focus and spreading in contrast to your contracting pupils. Well, apart from Dave's.
It just has empty eye sockets.
An easy breeze picks up and lifts to your vantage point, caressing your faces and softly blowing loose strands of your hair. Well, apart from Dave's. The evil in the death house seems far away from you now as you feel momentarily lost in the awe of everything in front of you. The overgrown garden is so intimidating. In the previous night now look lush and green in the warmth of the morning light. You look at each other, smiling as you take the first... Well, Dave doesn't have a choice. Smiling as you take the first steps on the long journey back to Waterdeep, alive and considerably richer.
Alive?
Alive!
Well, mostly.
When we were leaving the house, I also grabbed a bottle of booze, so like I'm drinking it, but it's like kind of squirting up my stomach.
Give me a hit on that.
You begin to take those first hesitant steps. I'm glad that it's midsummer. Although, as you take the last step before we finish tonight, you notice that a snowflake drops from the sky. And that is where we're going to leave it tonight. So, thank you very much for playing the Death House.
So, we've got a ragtag bunch of travellers now, anyway. A zombie, a skeleton, a halfling, a dragonborn.
It wasn't that bad.
If I buy Dave a dog, is that, like, murder?
You prick.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed our playthrough of the Death House, and we'll be back next week with the next chapter of this story as the party enters Barovia. If you'd like to support the show and get early access to our newest episodes, check out patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. Before we go, I'd like to thank Grob2016 and Quentin Lee for giving us such fantastic reviews on iTunes. We loved reading them and we really appreciate your support. Thanks again to Anumis Summer for running the weekly recap and discussion thread on our Reddit page. We really enjoy reading those too. And lastly, thanks again to BattleBards.com for use of their amazing sound effects and music. You guys should definitely check them out. If you have any questions, comments or suggestions, you can contact us on Reddit at HWR Podcast on Twitter and on our Facebook page. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.